Blog Talk Radio.
Change Your Life Radio, helping you move towards greater happiness, health and abundance with your host, Lucinda Curran. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Change Your Life Radio. I am Lucinda Curran, Healthy Life, Safe Living Consultant at Eco Health Solutions in Australia, and I'm the author of Change Your Life, 50 Daily Meditation Affirmations Anyone Can Do. Our conversations this month focus on self. We will be exploring this theme on many levels in order to help you move towards greater happiness, health, and abundance. I have invited a range of international guests to share their wisdom and expertise with you. And today I have the pleasure of introducing you to Kameen Bell-Samuel. She started her professional career as the US Navy's first female African-American helicopter pilot. She transitioned to having several small businesses and then to entry-level corporate positions. Kameen moved up quickly, working for several corporations, even serving as vice president of global website operations. Kameen holds a Master's of Science in Computer Systems, a Master's of Arts in Spiritual Psychology, and a Master's in Spiritual Science. Kameen's spiritual degree prepared her well to be a coach with great compassion, caring, and intuition. Kameen is a business expansion strategist specializing in helping people to clear blocks to achieving more wealth and develop strategies to expand their businesses or careers in authentic and creative ways. She's also the author of Increase Your Abundance Starting Today, which is available on Amazon Kindle. Welcome, Kameen.
Well, thank you so much, Lucinda. It's such an honor to be here with you.
It's a pleasure, absolute pleasure to have you. I've been very excited about the show and been waiting for it, so you're so welcome here.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here as well.
Thank you. Now, Kameen, your work history is absolutely fascinating. So I have to ask, what led you from going from being a helicopter pilot to running your own business?
Well, that's a great question, Lucinda. You know, I loved being in the Navy. I loved being I loved serving my country. And it was, and a part of me had always wanted to be in business. I remember being a teenager and thinking up all these ideas of how I would have my own conglomerate, and I was kind of at the forefront of learning computers back in the day. And so when I was starting to go into the Navy, I almost did not become a helicopter pilot, primarily because I wasn't an athlete, and so they told me I had to run a mile a day and run and swim a mile, and I decided, well, you know, maybe I'll just go Supply Corps, which was as close to business as I thought I could get at the time. And then I had a spiritual kind of a moment where I was on a senior trip from college, walking along the beach, and a formation of helicopters flew overhead. And I looked up and I said, really, God? And I called my recruiter and I said, you know, what are the chances of me switching my package back to aviation? And they said, I'll call you back in 20 minutes. And they called back and they said, it's done. And so I kind of, the universe kind of took me off onto that track for a while. And then I realized that about the nine-year mark, realized that I really wanted to be in business. And so I left the military and started my own business. And then that didn't work out so well, and as I talk about in my books, and ended up back in corporate and now back to owning my own business, which is absolutely a thrill.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. So you had to do all that physical training as well to be a pilot, running and swimming.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Wow.
It was a lot. I used to think, why do we have to run to meals? I don't understand that. We run everywhere. But I learned to be a good runner and active, and like I said, it was a wonderful experience.
That's great. That is so, so incredible. I'm sort of, I guess, disappearing into child mind here going, wow, so what was it like flying in a helicopter?
It was amazing. It really was. It was. I'm very grateful for those experiences. I recently posted a picture on my Facebook wall of me as a helicopter pilot and got such an overwhelming response to it. And I have to remind myself of the fun and the joy and the hard work it was doing that.
I saw that and I loved it. I think it's just so inspiring. And I think, too, being the first African-American woman to do that is just phenomenal. So well done to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's great. I love it. So how did you become then interested in helping people with expanding their wealth?
Well, as I said, I got out of the military and I tried my hand at being an entrepreneur, and that failed. And so I went into tremendous debt, and you know, I tell kind of the gory details of it in my book, Increase Your Abundance Starting Today. And what I promised myself when I was in the middle of that, going through that, was that if I could get myself out, I would do whatever I could to help others. And I realized that I had created my debt and my financial troubles with my mind first. And then it became a reality. And so I studied and learned and went on this quest to find what I had done and how can I help others. And really realize that wealth and is an inside-out approach. It's not just getting things and acquiring money. And for me, the definition of wealth is really it's the wholeness. It's having great relationship, having your health, making money, and having a fullness to your life. So it's not just, you know, it's not just about money. And so how could I began to teach other people about, you know, how to think about money and how to think about wealth from the inside.
That's fantastic. And just going back to your qualifications too, because you've got a Master of Arts in Spiritual Psychology and a Master's in Spiritual Science. Would you want to tell us a little bit more about that as well?
Well, those were my fun degrees. So I have a technology degree, and then my master's in spiritual psychology and my master's in spiritual science were really passions of mine. I had been searching for 20 years for a particular, I didn't know what I was looking for in psychology, and I just knew that I was called to it. And when I got clear that I wanted to study psychology from a spiritual perspective, not a religious perspective or doctrine, but understanding that there is a oneness in the universe, that there is no, you know, to live in a non-judgment world and to live with greater compassion and learn all the modalities of psychology in that context. Once I got clear on that, I found the University of Santa Monica, which is the Master's in Spiritual Psychology degree that I graduated from. And it really is... One of the greatest gifts I gave to myself was that program and giving myself the context of compassion and non-judgment and loving and being able to take that into the work world.
That's great. So in a sense, I guess what you're saying is doing that study helped you understand how you ended up in that debt and then helped you to move through it, and then you're teaching people from that as well. Is that right?
Yes. Absolutely. I actually started writing my book when I was at the University of Santa Monica. Is a part of our, we have to do these second year programs, and so second year projects, and that was the result of it. And really going through the process of understanding myself, understanding and realizing how I created it, and how I turned it around, so that I could duplicate it for others.
That's brilliant. And I guess what you were saying as well is that through the study and through the learning that you were doing, realizing that you had to treat yourself with compassion and kindness was part of that as well.
That is actually one of the greatest gifts that we could give ourselves is to stop judging ourselves harshly, to understand that we are exactly where we need to be to learn the lessons that we have to learn. And if we can do that from a place of loving and compassion, that we can begin to heal and begin to, again, as the kind of the topic of this is to begin to uncork wealth.
I have to then ask you, what do you mean by uncorking wealth?
Well, it's actually a phrase that came out of working with my private clients. We would go through sessions, and they would just, several of them would respond saying, you know, I feel like something got uncorked. And then we would see the evidence of more wealth coming to them. And it became so fun, and it is so fun to watch. And it's uncorking the wealth is about flow and creating flow in our lives. And how that can look, the corking of wealth can look like we've been on a plateau. We can't get a new job. We've been in the same job for a long period of time, and we can't get it doesn't look like there's a promotion coming, or the economy goes down and we're just overwhelmed by it. We have a business that's stuck that can't grow. And, you know, uncorking it is about allowing, there's a natural flow to the universe. And if we could just step into it, that we would find that there is more support, more wealth flowing to us than we previously knew. Does that make sense?
That does. That does. And like the earlier description too was just, you know, moving that cork so that, you know, letting the flow happen just sort of flipped my mind back to Chinese medicine. Because we talk about stagnation, and that's where, like, it's like a kinked hose. You know, you've got the pressure building up behind it. You can't get it through. So really that's, you're moving the blockages so everything flows as it should.
Right. And I live by a concept kind of sometimes of surprising wealth. And I love to be surprised. Recently a friend of mine uses my book in her marriage and family therapist practice, and a client was loving it, and she was still struggling. She was doing the exercises, and then she brought into her session recently a card and handed it to her, and it was an unsigned Christmas card that she had received in the mail with $100 bill.
Wow.
And that's where it becomes fun, when you begin to uncork it and the universe starts showing you. Like when I see a penny on the ground, I always say, oh, God's throwing money at my feet.
That's gorgeous.
So I get so excited about it. And that's part of stepping into it.
Great. And so that's then that concept of being surprised by it. So you get, I think, if I'm right in understanding, if you're open to being surprised by it, you will get surprises like that. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I love
that.
That
sounds
so much fun.
Yeah, you begin to notice that the universe is trying to give you money or give you what you want if we are not fighting against it.
Incredible. And I guess this is sort of, there's a few things, a few directions I want to go to from what you just said, but I'll just bring it back to the idea of flowing. So in your book, Increase Your Abundance Starting Today, you've talked about tithing. So that's the concept, just in case anyone's not sure what it means, about giving away money or time and other things. And I guess someone who feels that they're really short of it would feel like a very strange concept. So how does tithing help with wealth?
Ooh, I love this question. Thank you for asking it. I love tithing. I love talking about tithing. And you're right. If somebody is struggling with where they are financially, the concept of tithing can be a bit startling. And just so people understand, it's tithing. The definition of tithing is tithing 10% of your income. And I happen to believe in tithing before taxes, so that can be even a greater challenge for some people. And with tithing, there's also a concept of tithing that is tithing your time, talent, or treasure. And so it doesn't always have to be in money. You can also donate your time. And so if somebody is really struggling, when I was struggling with the concept of tithing, because I didn't have money and I was going through my financial problems, I did tithe my time and I was conscious of it until I could, how I put it, I could get my heart right on tithing, until I could really get to a place of joyful tithing. And being able, and tithing is giving 10% to your spiritual source where you're being fed. And it took a while, but and I was really grateful to do it when I wasn't making a lot of money, because it settled it for me. So if $50 came in, $5 went to where I was spiritually fed. If $70 came in, it was $7, and then it grew from there. And I say in my book, I kind of tithe my way out of debt, because there's a trust that has to be built with the universe, in that with tithing, whether you're tithing your time, talent, or your treasure, it sets up a law, and that's the law of giving and receiving. And so as I give, so shall I receive. And in that reciprocal nature, we begin to trust the universe that all of our needs are going to be taken care of. And it is easier to do when you're not making as much, and if you can get that concept and grow it. I had to settle it long before I got I was making a lot of money in my corporate positions. And, you know, if I got a bonus and it was $10,000, well, if I hadn't settled that and I have to tithe $1,000 from that, that would give you pause, or give me pause. And so I had to learn that and understand the concept that I am well taken care of. And so, it sets up that law of give, as you give, so shall you receive. And it's also not an expectancy about it, but it's a cooperation with it. I don't know if does that make sense?
That does make sense. Yeah. I guess I think there's, like, again, a lot of levels in what you're saying, and it's a very big concept. But I think the idea of the law of giving and receiving, I think in a lot of us it is quite imbalanced. Like, someone might, you know, I know I do, I've got a tendency to give, and I am getting better at, but receiving's been difficult. So just trying to get balance happening is quite difficult. It's quite a big challenge. Is there anything you'd suggest to help with that?
Well, with the receiving specifically?
Yeah, or just getting it in balance.
Well, I think in the imbalance, you know, it's interesting because there is... there are a lot of people who say, I'm a giver, and they wear that as a badge, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be also a martyr. And
yes, I know what you mean. It's quite different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And mm-hmm. So it's when we're giving from a place of, I can't receive, I'm giving, so, you know, almost... in an elevated stance of that, and wearing it and expecting people to notice and expecting people to, you know, want to give back to me, but I can't receive, I've corked my wealth.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, because that we really do have an imbalance there. And so it becomes about... You know, and a lot of people who come to see me and hire me, they first hire me because they say, you know, I'd like to make more money in my business or my career, because I work with corporate as well as business owners and entrepreneurs. And so often what I find in their overgiving, or I also find that there is an againstness to receiving. And what that can look like and how that shows up in them is It can show up as envy, jealousy, judgments of others. I know that there are times if I'm in an overgiving and I haven't even asked. So you hear the language of if I'm giving and I haven't asked for help, then I've taken the burden and I cannot receive help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, do you want to say it again? Because I think that's just when you need a few moments just to sniff and really get it. That's great.
Yeah, so again, if it's the imbalance of being a giver, like I'm a giver. Somebody says, I'm a giver. I'm usually like, I'm not so sure. Because there's an attachment, right? If somebody gives from that voice, they're expecting somebody to do something in return. And the question is, can they even ask for help?
Yeah.
And so the imbalance can be, if I give, can I receive? And my hands are kind of, as I give, kind of over the top, can I receive under, it's a cycle. And so when we look at any againstness to receiving, we have to open up to what is it that I really want and can I ask for it? And if I may, I'll share an example of kind of an againstness to receiving. It was several years ago, I was a senior manager at a company, and I had really great success. I had been promoted almost every year, and I got to senior manager, and the next level would have been director. And I had a whole bunch of judgments. You know, I'm working hard. You know, they don't appreciate me, or they're always stabbing each other in the back. There's so much politics at the executive level, right? And so I stayed where I was until I realized that, am I open? Am I even open to going to the next level? And it became a question and a quest that said, I can take me with me. I can go to that level and hold in my own integrity and hold in my character and be kind and be who I am at that level wherever I am. And once I opened my hands and really set, you know, I'm going to talk about this, in, you know, about some of the things that we can do to uncork our wealth, but I really set the intention to go to that level. Within 6 weeks, I got promoted. After years at the same level. And it was such a surprise because I'd given up. But I had set the intention from a place of, you know what, I'm going to be me no matter what level I'm at. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And I guess I've never actually worked in corporate, but I've spoken a lot with people who do. And I think many people don't quite understand if they've never been there. And I know I don't fully get it, but it's not a very kind, compassionate world.
No, it's sometimes rare. It can happen, but you know, in many aspects, you know, it can be challenging. But if we can get clear about who we are and hold to our own character, then we can receive and not make them wrong. Not about making them wrong. It's about, and we hold in our own space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's about more being true to who you are in whatever role you, rather than judging and criticizing others, because that's not really what that's about. It's not going to help anyone then, is it?
Right, and there's a concept from the University of Santa Monica that I'm aware of now that is, we call it competing intentions. And it's where we want one thing. So if you're, again, going back to what you asked originally around giving, I'm giving and I really want help, but I can't receive because I would have to relinquish control. Well, you're not going to get help. You're not going to receive. I can want to be a director and I want the pay of director and want the responsibilities of director, but if I'm holding againstness up and judging the other directors and judging how they behave, then I can't, it's a like a tug of war that nobody wins. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Sure does. I think you explained things beautifully, so thank you. Are there other issues around receiving that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I covered a few, but it's really about how do you, I just mentioned about opening your hands. Can you, receiving is not closed-fisted. You can't hold water with a closed fist. And to have the imagery of, can you open your hands to receive? Can you ask for help? Can you be willing to take ownership for who you are? Can you stand in your reality and be open to a new possibility? My clients, I love my clients, and they are so coachable. And when I'm up, I work with somebody who isn't coachable. It's a challenge for me because they're not open to hearing. You know, are we standing on our position? Are you right? Do you have to be right? You can't receive and be right at the same time. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Yes, definitely. So, yeah, I guess just it's coming back to that concept of the flow. So when you are able to receive, you're able to give. When you're able to give, you're able to receive. But it's then also taking, like adding another level to it of keeping a kind, compassionate, centered self in that as well.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Okay, thank you. I just sort of keep, because there's so many, my mind's just whirring on all these different questions, and I'm going, I can't ask you all at once, it's too many. I guess if we talk a little bit more about what challenges, are there any other challenges? Because we've talked about then the receiving issues. Are there giving issues as well?
That's a great question. I think that there can be giving issues in the sense of hoarding, like giving in the sense of not being willing to share your gifts and abilities, not afraid that somebody's going to, judge you. I work with a lot of my clients on being willing to be seen because, we have our, we think people are going to judge us or not like us or those kinds of things. And so we play small in our world. And we, there's people who are so gifted that I get to work with. And, I say, you're the best kept secret in your field because you're not sharing enough of who you are. And so it's an opportunity if the giving isn't necessarily they're a taker, then the opposite necessarily isn't necessarily a being a taker and just taking everything, which is a challenge in itself to receiving, and stops the flow from that perspective. But where I show a giving issue is more around, Are you willing to use your voice? Are you willing to stand up and be seen? Are you willing to share more of yourself versus being afraid of being seen? And I was with a client the other day, and we were something had just uncorked for him, and we had created this whole strategy around how he can build a new practice, and it was wonderful. And I cautioned him that when there's such great movement, the greatest challenge can be in the ego stopping us. And when we feel that struggle and that wanting to hide, it's so much more about our fear of being seen rather than our faith in what service we have to give. Does that make sense?
It does. I really enjoy how you just put that. I think, I know personally that's been a struggle for me, is being brave enough to just go, well, you know what, I just am here to do what I'm here to do. And that's it. I choose to shine, and that was a decision, a really conscious decision. It's a really interesting journey to go through to move past the issues that you do have in the way in terms of giving and receiving. And I think the service needs to override the fear of judgment or criticism.
Right, because if we can look at our lives, and one of the things that I love about my practice is being able to help people see the thread of who they really are and how they have been all of their lives and how to monetize that and how to be of service in a bigger way. And it is all about being of service. It's all about shining. It's all about showing up and helping the person in front of you. Many times we get the fear comes when we, in our imagination, go too big and we haven't taken that first step and really hunkering in. What is that first step that I need to take to move in the direction of my fondest dreams? And just doing that one thing and being of service to that one person. And that's where we get the congruency of who we're supposed to be in the world and how we show up, and wealth gets uncorked because we are in alignment with our highest for our highest good. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, definitely. So are there other strategies that you'd like to share with us about uncorking or getting rid of those unconscious blocks?
Well, you know, there's I kind of have five keys that I use with my clients to uncorking and clearing unconscious blocks. And the first key is around awareness. Awareness that something's blocking us. Now, that may sound obvious, right? Obviously, something's blocking us. I'm not making the kind of money that I want to make, right? But generally, most people think it's outside of them. And this key on awareness is about, it's not outside of us. It's an internal game. It's not the economy. It's not a boss. It's not our customers. It's us. And if we can see that we have the power when we come in alignment with who we're supposed to be and look for flow, and we'll talk about the other keys and how they fit together, but when we realize it's inside of us and it's not about some, we're not blaming anybody else, it's inside of us, that begins to loosen the cork. The second key, so that people understand how they fit together, the second key is forgiveness. And this is one of the most important tools to clearing both conscious and unconscious blocks. And when I talk about forgiveness, it really is from the University of Santa Monica's perspective of not judging what has happened. So we're not forgiving what somebody's done. We're forgiving any judgment of understanding what has happened. And I highly, highly, highly recommend a book called Loyalty to Your Soul, which is by the heads of the University of Santa Monica. And it really goes through and goes in depth on this. But it, for, you know, just to encapsulate it, it's really about forgiving ourselves and others. So it's forgiving ourselves for the judgments. So for me, there are many times in my life, you know, when I was, we'll go back to the example of being a director, getting to that level, it was really understanding. I forgive myself for judging myself as unworthy of going to that next level. I forgive myself for judging myself as not being capable of holding my own character. I forgive myself for judging the directors and above as being mean and spiteful. Because I don't know, I wasn't in there. I don't know what's going on. I just judged it that way. I forgive myself for judging, you know, it can go on and on. But it's about that sets up, and again, it goes back to an openness. That I'm not holding on to the judgments of what it is that I'm actually asking for. Does that make sense?
I love it. Yes, it does. Because really, it's about what about our perceptions of things and believing our perception to be the ultimate truth. When, like as you said, you weren't in the room with directors, you didn't know really what went down. You just judged it as them being mean or spiteful or whatever. And I think we all do that in a lot of things. And really, it takes a lot just to be quite conscious of the way we do perceive things and then the way we translate that to be truth.
Yes, and you said that very well. It really is only our perception of it. So if we could stay clean with that and go to a place of forgiveness and let go of any judgments and bring it present, and I don't want to make light of anything that anybody has, you know, maybe a really challenging situation, which is why I also highly, you know, in this short period of time, I can't get into it significantly, and highly recommend the Loyalty to Your Soul book, is because they really walk you through that process in a really graceful way. But being able to get to a place of forgiveness creates openness, which again goes to uncorking.
Fantastic stuff. It's so powerful.
Oh, good. And the third key here is to look for the flow that already is in your life. And, you know, it sometimes the corking is masked by struggle. And I was talking with someone recently, and they were saying, I'm struggling to make this decision. And because of my intuition, and I was able to say, are you struggling with making the decision, or are you struggling with telling people about the decision? And she said,
it's nice.
Oh. What was that?
I was just going to say, it's a really nice distinction there that you've got to be quite astute to pick it. Well done. So what did she say?
And she said, absolutely. She knew exactly what the decision was that she needed to make. But she perceived that other people would be disappointed in her, and you know that she should do it, and those putting it outside of us are the things that give us struggle. All are the things that block the flow of our life, because when we're in those struggles, we're not flowing with the decision that's already been made. And as soon as we can really step into that decision, it's like, oh, look, it's just like it opened up, and I can go on to this. But we hold on to, oh, you know, somebody's going to be upset with me. Oh, my parents said I should do this. Oh, you know, I should do, I should do these things. And so if we can let those go and really come present in the moment and listen to, you know, what are the signs of ease and grace that are already here? What are the repetitive messages that I'm getting? And I'll share a story from my own life again as to I was in a corporate position, and they came to me and said, we want you to take this new job. And I said no. And they came back again, and I said no, because I was really good in the job that I had, and I was known for it. I had a great reputation in it, and it was really something I enjoyed. When they came to me the third time, I thought, I wonder if I don't take this job, am I going to have one? because normally they don't offer something three times. Right? There must be something else, and in my own intuition and checking in with my spiritual practice, I said yes to the job. And it was a job called online merchandise. I was running the online merchandising team. And I have to tell you, it was the most fun, expansive, enlivening job that I had had up until that point. And I thought I was having fun in the other job.
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, my gosh. Lucinda, it was unbelievable. And it actually leads me to where I am today. I didn't realize in merchandising, you know, when I took that job, I realized that since I had been 8 years old, I had been gutting this. In the U.S., there's a Sunday paper that has all the sales in it. Well, I've been gutting the paper of those sales section and studying them since I was 8 years old. And, you know, I'm not buying anything. I just love the psychology of how people buy and what people put on sale, and I love the game of it. And now it's one of the most fun things of my practice is being able to see how people can make more money, how they expand their product lines. And so, as you can tell, I get really animated when I talk mm-hmm. about this. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't paid attention to the signs over and over again. Does that make sense?
It does, because it's interesting because you were talking a little bit about the shoulds before, and in my family we talk about the shoulds and oughts. You know, you ought to do this or you should
yes.
do that. And when people say that, as soon as we hear those words, I think we all just shut down and go, no, we're not doing that. So I guess in a way you probably were feeling a little bit like there was a bit of a should factor in there because they kept asking you. But just also recognizing that this wasn't them imposing something on you, it was just the universe or however really reinforcing this was the path for you to go, because this was being presented again and again, which was unusual.
Right. And so when we get repetitive messages, we can pay attention to those and see where the flow is, because if I had said no, I could have been out of a job. Because I would have been, mm-hmm. I've been stuck on my own position, and stuck on my, you know, and stuck in my rightness of, I'm best at this. But I began to look for, and part of looking for the flow is being really open to the messages that are always coming to us, that are about expansion. And then you try it out, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, it's still to your good. Nothing is ever lost. Nothing. Everything can be used for your good. So, in this instance, it was the greatest gift that I had been given. And I really look at it from God, from the universe, from. And again, I'm not talking about religion or doctrine. I'm just talking about that partnership that I have with the universe.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess just being able to recognize that it was something special to step forward into, and knowing too that, the way you said it, I just really loved that every single thing isn't lost. It's all for your good. And I believe that. You know, everything happens for a reason, but it all always works out for the best. But you might
right.
not realize at the time. That's the only proviso with it. Sometimes you don't see that straight away, but ultimately it does work out for the best. And you just have to look for why. What's the good bit in it? Because there's always a reason, isn't there?
Yes. Well, and it can be a learning experience for the next position. It can be a learning experience for the next client. It can be it is an opening and using it, and what can I learn from this? What can I take from this, even if it doesn't feel like it happened for a reason? You know, so that we can, it's how we choose to look at it as well. You know, and I have, you know, in a client session earlier this week when I was working with someone who was new and I could see the pattern of how this person kept showing up in a way that, as a healer in all of their positions, and then you get to use that going forward, and there's an enlivening piece of that. So that's a part of the flow. Or another client who has always hadn't seen that what her gift was to turn ugly things into beautiful, enlivened, exciting things. And she was all about community and creating great relationships, and where she had judged it from a different perspective because there were other judgments on that. I could see the beauty of who she is and how she transforms the ugly into the beautiful, and how her life has been about beauty. But until you look for the flow of your life and begin to see where there's ease and grace, we put, again, there's againstness. I should be doing something else. You see that struggle. It's almost like you're turning away from the flow in your life. Does that make sense?
It does. And what a divine gift she has. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
Really special. And I guess, too, when you were saying before about forgiveness in terms of the judgments for what happened, and that we were sort of talking about, I guess, the path you carved through life on your journey. And I guess when you do look back, you can see the congruence, you can see that flow, you can see the path was there for a reason. And, you know, there's a point where all the skills you've collected along the way come together, and it sort of creates a new direction, and off you go again.
Right. And so if you begin to notice how that flow has always been in your life, and you step into it, like I said about, I hadn't even connected that since I was 8 years old gutting the newspaper. What 8-year old looks at the, you know, they might go to the comics. I'm looking at sales. Like, I got, you know, do I have credit cards? Do I have cash? No, I'm just studying. I'm just loving every minute of it. And so to see how that showed up in my life, and how, you know, somebody, whether they're a healer or a designer, or, you know, one client is an amazing, you know, does body work, and she's amazing at it. And you get to use all of the experience in who you get to show up as in the present. Thank you. And it is, because it's really, it's delightful to see that if people can find that flow and to really look back over their lives, and they can step in it, that they can really uncork and really expand into more wealth. And I do want to go into the fourth key, which is really to set the intention to receive more wealth. And, you know, some people forget to ask. Right? You know, they think that they've asked, or they've been praying for it from an outside, but not from the inside. And part of one of the phrases I learned from Gay Hendricks, who wrote the book The Big Leap, and I highly recommend that book as well. If you saw my library, I just love books. But there's a phrase that I teach my clients, which is, I consciously choose to expand into greater good this day. And I use that. My husband and I just were on an amazing vacation, and there's a principle called the upper limit, where we can hit a limit of what we can, how much joy really can we experience. And I use that phrase, I consciously choose to expand into greater good. That helps me set an intention of expansion, an intention of receiving. I choose to receive more wealth. I choose to look for the flow in my life and set that intention. And that goes in partnership with the last key that I want to bring forward. You know, we've talked about the awareness and forgiveness, and looking for the flow and setting intention, and kind of the anchor piece of this is really partnering with God, Spirit, the universe, you know, whatever someone calls their higher power. And again, I'm not talking about religion or doctrine. I'm talking about a co-creation. I'm talking about being in relationship with the oneness and the connectivity. I feel, you know, you and I have never met in person, but I feel very connected to you, Lucinda, and to your work and what you're doing in the world. And understanding that partnering and that co-creation with the universe begins to, you can ask a question, and I'd love the listeners to just simply ask the question, and they can say it out loud or say it inside of themselves, really, what am I to do next to increase my wealth? And the key here is to listen. To listen for an answer, because sometimes we just keep talking and we don't listen. And so to begin to listen, and that goes back to the flow and those repetitive messages. So you may not hear an audible voice, but it may show up in somebody who's looking for particular work, and it shows up immediately. It might show up in somebody over and over again mentioning that they have this challenge in their life, and the person not realizing, oh, wait, I have the answer. You'd be surprised how many clients didn't realize that they had the answer to people's struggles, and they just didn't even connect to the fact that they could actually make a career out of that. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think a little part of that is to do with the fact that I guess when it's a talent, in a sense, it comes just so naturally, it's so easy that you don't perceive it as anything. It just is. It's just what you do, and you don't even think about it, and you don't realize that is potentially something that you could, you know, use to help other people with, because it's just what you do.
Right. That's exactly it, and we take it for granted because we would do it anyway. And that's the thing you want to look at. That's the thing that you want to expand and see, well, how could somebody pay me money for that? How could I receive more wealth? How could I be of greater service to someone who has that struggle and begin to step into, and even if you do it for free initially, but begin to shift your mindset that you can expand, that you have something to give, and that the universe could pay you. If you just open up to that expansion point inside of you, it begins to open up creative ways for it to be delivered.
That's fantastic. And I guess something that what I like with that question, you know, what am I to do next to increase my wealth? It opens you up to the possibilities. It's like, bad example, but it's like, just say you were in the market to look for a new car. All of a sudden, you'd be noticing the car ads.
Right.
You'd be noticing the cars on the street. You'd be seeing what it is. And so by asking this question, you're opening yourself up, and then you start seeing the messages. So it's not, like as you said, it's not that you're going to get a voice telling you, do this. It's just going to be, you're going to be getting sort of messages symbolically or otherwise, but there'll be some repetition that you'll notice if you're willing to listen.
That was a great example, Lucinda. That really is the essence of it, which is, you know, once you just kind of open your eyes to it, you'll begin to get signs, but you have to be willing. You have to ask.
If something, I'm just sort of wondering, if people do get the messages and kind of notice but kind of don't, is there some sort of action that they should be taking straight away on that? Or is it something they could put off for a while? Have you got an opinion on that?
Well, you know, like with, it was interesting with the new client I was working with this week, that a particular path came forward. There was a particular idea that he wanted to do, but the timing was off for him to step into that. And what we were able to do in our session was really uncover ways that he could be of service in doing those things now. So, yes, there's sometimes a timing issue. There's sometimes there is a financial issue or an opportunity where you know, if you need more training or you need help with strategy or those kinds of things, you know, it's also that adage where people say, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. 9 times out of 10, or really 10 times out of 10, when I'm ready for that new next level of learning or training, it is amazing how the right person shows up. And
it's a beautiful synchronicity, isn't it?
It is. It is. And at the same time, if somebody there, and there's books. There's a library. In the early days, when I couldn't even afford books, when I was coming out of my financial challenges, I would just go to the bookstore or the library and read their books. I would spend 4 or 5 hours at the library. I mean, now you can do a lot of things online, but for me, I still love the feel of a book, and you can flip through and see it and search for things. And so there's a lot of ways that people can get assistance. And if they're really ready for that next level, you know, there are opportunities that abound everywhere to step into that. And the most important one that I have to share with the listeners is to listen within. You know, I went on I spent a lot of money chasing things, chasing information. And if I had just settled into my spirit and settled inside and come present and asked, what is it that I really am trying to do? What is it that I want to do? And even again, go back to that question, asking the universe, asking God, whatever you call your higher power, you know, show me who I'm to work with and make it clear. I always like to add that just in case there's any, you know, sometimes it can be cloudy because a lot, you know, more than one person might show up, but make it clear who I am to work with. And we can ask that of the universe.
I think that's important to take the ambiguity out of it as well. You've got to, I think you've got to just put that bit on the end.
Make it clear. Just saying, if I forgot something, just make it clear.
Definitely. Okay. So, wow, we've covered so much already. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about in terms of, we've talked about the five keys. Was there anything else in terms of releasing the box and next steps that you wanted to go through?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the most important thing, and this is something I give all of my clients, which is the wealth exercise. And people, listeners, can go to KameenSamuel.com. So it's just my first and last name, KameenSamuel.com. And there's a wealth breakthrough kit on there, and it's completely complimentary. And you can unsubscribe, and after you get in, it's fine. But I have a video on the wealth exercise, and it comes from the book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And it's basically using the word wealth over and over. And I tell people to do it first thing in the morning and when they go to sleep if they're really in a challenge, or any time during the day where they may feel the struggle or feel they get a bill, go to a place of wealth. And it's not saying the word, I am wealthy. It's just saying the word wealth and really going inside to that place inside of you and wondering, what would it feel like to have $50 more or $100 more? Now, some of my clients get stuck, and I say, you know, first of all, it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to undo decades of thinking the other way. So just know it takes a little bit of time and practice. And it's important not to go too far. So I said to someone recently in a session, I said, you know, in explaining this principle, I said, you know, what would it feel like if you made $1,000 more a month? And they said, oh, or in a day. Well, this is a new concept for them. And I said, okay, so let's back up because $1,000 a day might create a vibrational gap for you that you can't cross. And it becomes, what it does is put that possibility outside of you kind of as fanciful thinking. Does that make sense?
It does, and that's, I think, a bit like what we're talking about earlier with basically just taking the little steps so there is the congruence, there's not the gap.
Right. And you know, I know I always say that, you know, it took me a little longer than I had anticipated, but it was perfect timing, which was I started, from the time I started my corporate career to the time I became vice president was 10 years in a day. And could have happened sooner. For other people, it happened sooner. But it was because of my financial challenges, it took me that long. I had that stall that I talked about. And it really, and at the same time, the money that I was making, you know, with the promotion to becoming a vice president was well worth the journey. I'm just going to tell you, it's well worth that journey. Mm-hmm. And so when you understand that you don't have to, it's steadiness. It's going a little bit, feeling, is it too much? You know, am I getting afraid? Back it down in half and continuing to increase that. And you'd be surprised. I mean, I was able to accomplish a tremendous amount since I started using that exercise in 1998. But it's such an opening and an opportunity to attract what you want in your life, and you get to play with it. And it can be in 10 seconds if that's all you have, and just go and say the word wealth inside of you. And what would it feel? And ask yourself, what would it feel like if I had? And you know, if I had $50 extra at the end of the month, which is where I started, and then I grew that to 500, and then 1,000, and 10,000, and being able to, you know, I got married a few years ago, and I was able to pay for my entire wedding. It was such a strange feeling the month after my wedding that all the bills were paid in full, and it was effortless. But that's because I had spent that time building and building until, and I still had my cushion, I still had my emergency fund even after paying for my wedding. And so we begin to open up to what's possible. I get all sorts of ideas that come in my wealth exercises in the morning, and I make sure you have something to write them down on because they'll evaporate sometimes. But then you can take action. And so that coupled with the keys, now you're kind of clean inside. You've done your, you know, you've got your awareness that it's inside of you that you're working with. It's not outside of you. You've done your forgiveness. You've looked for where the flow is, and, you know, you've set an intention, and you're partnering with God, and the wealth exercise is just taking that partnership to another level. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And I think what you were explaining then really highlighted for me why a lot of people fail with those affirmations where they believe that they're going to manifest $100,000 by the end of the month.
Yeah.
and just it's this massive leap that just doesn't make sense. They're not aligned internally to that kind of concept. And I really like the way you just do it very gradually and very comfortably so that it's manageable and doable.
Yes. Yes. And there's a concept in the University of Santa Monica called is it 50% believable? Like in your reality, is it 50% believable? And that helps us from
key.
Getting, what was that?
Sorry, I think that's a really key, isn't it? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That we don't get it too far out, you know, too into the quote-unquote fanciful world.
That makes a lot of sense. So if there was one thing, and it's, you know, obviously we'd like everyone to remember everything, but for listeners to take away one thing from the conversation today, what would you like that to be?
Mm. I think the one thing would be that there is great flow in the universe. So getting that sense of, you know, when you uncork a champagne bottle, especially one that's kind of pressurized, and once that cork pops out, there is flow immediately there. And so if we can realize that there is great flow to the universe, and we can look for that flow and look for the places inside of us that might be in resistance or against us, and go back to the keys, but if we could just remember to look for the flow in our lives and step into that flow, we can really begin to allow so much creativity, so much wealth in all areas of our lives. And I really mean it, in all areas. I use the wealth exercise to manifest friends when one of my best friends had moved away and I was kind of living like a hermit, and I used that to manifest those relationships. And I have some of the most amazing friends, and with them I feel wealthy. With their loving and their caring and their compassion and what we get to do and the laughter and the joy we get to experience. You know, I use the wealth exercise to manifest my husband and to help, and I used it with him because when we met, his business was on the verge of bankruptcy, and I taught him these principles and his business has grown every year since, and last year was over 70%. So it's a tremendous, if we can step and partner with the universe in that flow, the sky's the limit for us.
That's fantastic and so inspiring. Thank you so much. So, Camille, I believe too that you've got a special gift for our listeners. Did you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I so appreciate you, Lucinda, and giving me this opportunity to be here. I just so enjoy being with you. So what I've done is you can't find this page. It's not listed on my website. I created this for Lucinda. Is, you know, I have a few spots, of what I call my laser wealth session, the wealth strategy session. And you'll have to apply for those. There's just a few questions, and just, you know, answer those. But it's an opportunity for us to have a call wherever you are in the world, a Skype, or if you're local to the LA area, happy to do it in person. But generally, they're by phone or Skype, and really to take 30 to 45 minutes and see where you might be stuck in your business or in your career, and use that laser session. It's complimentary, and to really see where there's a vein of flow that could pop for you. And it's one of the most fun things that I can do, is to help people really uncover the flow in their lives and discover what they've already been doing and how to manifest better and how to really allow and receive more wealth, so that they know that they're taken care of, they have discretionary income. They, you know, many of my clients who started with me don't have, you know, didn't at the beginning have emergency funds, and now they're, not only do they have emergency funds, but they have discretionary funds, which they never had before. And so to be able to find that flow for your life and to step into it is my joy. And so I have a few of those. So if you go to KaminSamuel.com, and that's K-A-M as in Mary, I-N as in Nancy, S-A-M as in Mary, UEL.com/Lucinda, you can apply for one of those spots.
Wowee, I bet everyone's going to be jumping online now and signing up. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And again, it's just been a pleasure being with you. I love your insights to this work, so it's fascinating to me as well.
Oh, thank you. I've really enjoyed having you here, and I'm sure listeners have loved it too. Now, we also just need to make sure, if anybody wants to get hold of a copy of your book, how do they do that?
Well, Increase Your Abundance, starting today, is on Kindle. I have a goal for 2014 to get that into hard copy, but it is a Kindle book right now. And it's easy. It's priced extremely well because it's really about the work. I really want people to, especially if they're new to in a turnaround situation in their own lives, I really want people to grasp onto it, that they can do this for themselves and they can really begin to increase their abundance starting today.
That's fantastic. Now, I've got a link for that too, if you're online at the moment, on the Blog Talk Radio description for the episode. There's a link there, so you can just click on that and go straight to Kameen's book. So for anybody who's in business or wanting help with their career, because your business focuses on helping people to clear blocks to their success, how can people who want to work with you further get in touch with you?
Well, they can go through... and just go to KameenSamuel.com and you'll find some resources there. And I do recommend that, you know, there's lots of information that I'd love to share with people. And I'd highly recommend that they apply for one of the spots for the Wealth Strategy Session, because it'll help them get clear just by answering those questions. That it'll help them get clear. It'll help me get to know them. And, you know, and they can put in there, you know, I really would like to speak with you. And that goes directly to me, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with anyone who is really open and ready to take their lives, their businesses, their careers, their wealth to the next level.
That's fantastic, and it's such a brilliant opportunity. So thank you for the gift as well for our listeners. It's very kind of you. Also, Kameen, you wrote a post for my website to do with this all as well, and it's called The Answer to Your Dream is No. So if anybody hasn't had a look at it, I've got a shortened link for it here. So it's bit.ly/Kameen's post. So K-A-M-I-N-S, so Kameen's post, P-O-S-T. And that'll take you straight to her blog on EcoHealth Solutions. So Kameen,
thank you. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for posting that article. And you know, it was funny because with that particular article itself is, you know, when the answer to your dream is no, it's about looking for the flow. Sometimes I'm not going to talk about it now, but please go look at that because sometimes it looks like the universe has said no. And it can simply be adjusting us to help us find our greater good.
It's brilliant. I actually really, really loved reading it, and I highly, highly recommend that everybody does too. And you have been so generous with your time and your expertise, and I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all of that with us. Is there a final thought that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, again, I want to thank you, Lucinda, for inviting me here and for your generosity and your insights. And I want to thank the listeners as well for being online. And it's such a, obviously, I love this topic. I love helping people. And so my wish for everyone is to really own that they are co-creators, that they have the power to really step into receiving wealth in an authentic way that is congruent with who they are. And if they simply look for the flow and the joy and listen to the messages that they're already getting, and so, you know, it's just an opportunity for them to just expand and share themselves and be of greater service with the world. So I'm just so grateful for this opportunity to have been here.
Thank you, and we're very honored to have you. Oh goodness, it's time for the curly question, Kameen. Thinking back to your childhood, can you recall and share with us what the first thing you ever wanted to be was?
That's a great question. What comes to mind is when I was seven, I had this view of myself. We had phones in our house, and when I was elementary school, so it was around seven, and then it became much more clear when I was a little bit older. But I was always solving people's problems. So I thought I would be, you know, a doctor or a psychiatrist or something, and I realized that, I had this image of myself with a clipboard walking around people solving people's problems. And I get to, I don't use my clipboard very much, but I have one. But I was on the phone so much that my parents and their other kids in the family, so they were also on the phone, but mine was always about solving problems and helping people, and you can imagine, you know, what we're doing in 12, what kind of questions I'm solving. But my parents had to get a second line because we were always on the phone. And so,
wow.
If you look at the flow and you look at the stream, then I'm living what I've been doing all my life.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. I love that, you know, it's such a clear link as well. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you for asking. It just made me smile thinking back to my little self walking around with this clipboard in her mind, you know, like, whose problem can I solve next?
That's fantastic. I've got a really good image of it as well. That's so cute. So cute. Well, Kameen, it's almost time for us to end the show, and I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on air today. I really appreciated having you here, and I'm really, really grateful on behalf of our listeners too for the gifts that you're giving them as well. So I'll just remind everybody, if you want to go and apply for this wonderful laser session with Kameen, if you go to KameenSamuel.com/Lucinda, and you'll find it there. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Lucinda, and thank you everyone for being here.
Absolutely. I'd also like to thank everybody listening in on the Change Your Life Radio today. You've been listening to a conversation with Kameen Samuel on Change Your Life Radio, helping you towards greater happiness, health and abundance. If you'd like more information about Kameen's work, you can go to her website at KameenSamuel.com If you'd like more information about Change Your Life Radio, if you go to changeyourlife.info, that's change YR for your life.info, or you can visit ecohealthsolutions.com.au to read more about my work as well. I am Lucinda Curran, and I look forward to catching with you next time. Shine and succeed. This has been Change Your Life Radio with Lucinda Curran. For more information, you can visit changeyourlife.info. That's changeyourlife.info. Or visit blogtalkradio.com/Lucinda Curran.